All right, guys, welcome back to the Third Thought Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about Zack Snyder, almost all of his career, including the newly released Rebel Moon Part 2. I think it's titled The Scar Giver. I'm very interested to talk about this just because both Brantley and I have been, overviewing Zack Snyder's career since the beginning of his time with the DCEU. And then we've seen a few of his movies before that. But the main thing we're going to talk about today is just Zack Snyder's mindset and point of view on the movie industry, which isn't one that we necessarily agree with. But before we get into Rebel Moon and Rebel Moon Part 2, I do want to ask you, Brantley, what were your original thoughts on him? I know both of our probably biggest exposures to him was the DCEU, but you said you watched 300. Yeah. How has your relationship with Zack Snyder been as a general, general thing?
So just taking it back to the beginning. Like, I remember my dad, he had 300 on DVD. And at the time, I didn't know who Zack Snyder was. I was pretty young. But I remember I'd seen parts of 300 and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty fire. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, of course, the kid, the slow-mo, the Spartans, it just looked cool. So, I thought it was pretty fire. And honestly, I haven't seen 300 in a long time, but I think it still might be even enjoyable, by today's standards, to be honest. It's a fun action movie. Zack Snyder, I think, just, I would say, for a while, I really did not like him at all. I think over time, as I've gotten older and stuff, he's not that bad. I think I just think there was a point where the internet did kind of overdo, the hate on him. I don't think all the hate that he gets is necessarily always warranted. Because, sometimes he cooks a little bit sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But I think overall, he's a very, I'm not the biggest fan of him still. I thought that, the last stuff he did in DCU was not good at all. I actually enjoyed Army of the Dead.
Oh my god, I forgot about Army of the Dead. Wow, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that movie is fun. I actually liked Army of the Dead. That's really what had me excited or interested in Rebel Moon, because Army of the Dead, I think, I don't know. I
was when, okay, yeah, like, when they give, Netflix, when Netflix like, finally gives the him Dead. The sci-fi, he could pull something out for real.
Exactly, and nope, that's not what happened.
No. I gotta agree with you on pretty much all fronts. I will say I haven't seen 300. And when we talk about the early parts of his career, I'm not gonna pretend like I've seen everything. And I just, I don't think that Zack Snyder is someone that I necessarily despise, but I do very much disagree with his with his takes in general of movie making in the current Hollywood space, which again, we're going to talk about this edgelord Snyder thing going on at the end of this episode. I guess we start off Watchmen / pre-DCEU. Watchmen was my first exposure to his work. And technically Man of Steel was, but the earliest of his works that I've seen, Watchmen was that. And I actually like Watchmen a lot. I haven't seen the director's cut of it, but I like the theatrical as in I saw it at home, but I don't mind it. I actually think it works pretty well.
Yeah, no, Watchmen's one I haven't seen in a minute, and I haven't seen the director's cut either, but I don't know. I guess I think the first time I saw Watchmen, it was definitely just the tone of the story in general, even outside of just Snyder, just the story in general was a lot more mature than other superhero narratives that I was familiar with at that time. So for me, I was just whoa, I did not know superhero storytelling was go in this direction. So I think that was part of the appeal too for me when I first saw Watchmen. Definitely one I wouldn't mind revisiting. And of course, the source material itself, is great. So it's it's Snyder. I feel like, And honestly, going off certain aspects of the material, I haven't fully read Watchmen, but going off of what I do know about the story and what I'm familiar with, I can see why Snyder wanted to do it, because it is it has moments where I say Watchmen has a lot of substance, but it gets on paper, on the surface, yeah, it's some, I guess someone could say, edgy stuff in there or whatever. So I can see why Snyder wanted to cover it as a film. I wouldn't say I'm curious, because really I don't know what the reception was to that movie at the when it first released. I do want to go back and kind of see what people thought about it at that time, because I feel like it probably was pretty interesting to see within that time period too. That was pre-MCU, pre-everything, so I feel like it was kind of maybe a little
bit. Yeah, I completely agree. And honestly, like, I like the way that Watchmen, again, I haven't seen it in a while, but even after seeing a different type of adaptation to the source material, because we both watched the Watchmen show on HBO as well, and like, I wouldn't say that watching the newer or like a different adaptation made me dislike his movie more. Whereas with BVS and the Batman, like after I saw the Batman, I was like, yeah, I like BVS a lot less. Like, even though I didn't really like it at all, I like it a lot less because I'm like, yeah, we could have had this shit. Like, let's come on, let's be so for real. I just, yeah, pre-DCU stuff, I'm Watchmen hits, I haven't seen much else now. Kind of getting into the meat of things, right? The DC extended universe. I guess, I mean, we know the drama, guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, okay, you know, he didn't get to do his full vision, XYZ. Like, you had a lot of stuff planned out, whatever. I guess the only really fair way for Brantley and I to judge this, and I do want to add some context. Technically, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Brantley, but Zack Snyder was basically put in charge of our childhood Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, etc. Right? Like, that's, we can say that, right? Yeah. So we were in middle school when these movies came out, and we were watching them when they were coming out. Or technically, I was in elementary school when Man of Steel came out, I think. But yeah, like, we were watching these movies, and me, I guess let's start with Man of Steel. It doesn't work for me at all as a Superman adaptation. I don't like this god-like figure. Like, it's stoic, but in the worst way possible. It's like, it's not hopeful at all. I've seen Superman and Lois. I'm a massive fan of Superman and Lois. I wish that's the Superman we had on the big screen. Like, Man of Steel doesn't work for me at all whatsoever, dude. And I've tried to rewatch it over and over, and I've seen the movie a bunch of times. Like, it's not like I've only seen this movie once and decided to hate it. I watched this movie like five times at least, and I still don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, you're not alone, man. Not alone. Like, that movie is so boring, bro, to me. Like, especially because it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I've never been a super big Superman fan. So it was like, for me, like, you know, like, I feel like, you know, I wish the movie, like, could have won me over or something like that, especially because it was a different adaptation of the character. But, yeah, it's just so lifeless, man. Like, yeah. It's just the source, like, I mean, not source, but, like, the material in the film is lifeless. Mm-hmm. It just feels just, like, empty. It looks empty. There's no color in the movie. It's just, like, I don't know what he was cooking. I think, like, his ideas are just, like, I think this is the main problem I have with Snyder. It's just, like, I feel like, and maybe I could be wrong, I don't know the guy, but he just gives me the vibe. Like, thinks like they're cooking more than they're actually cooking. Like, he's,
yeah,
like,
I completely agree.
Like, he seems like he thinks he's smarter than what he actually is.
And I think, honestly, the biggest thing is like, he thought, I think it's just because he like tried to do something really new. And the fact that, okay, it's also Warner Brothers' fault, bro, for having like putting so much faith in this guy, bro. Like, come on, like. Like, obviously, it's Zack Snyder's fault for messing it up, but, like, dude, they wrote everything on it. It didn't work, dude. And I just, I'm frustrated that this was what we were supposed to grow up with. Like, I'm happy, like, my brother and like, all the other younger kids get to grow up with Superman, Lois, James Gunn's DC Universe, bro. Like, imagine being a little kid going to the theater to see that. Like,
yeah,
I will say, okay, so I guess speaking of, dude, us being kids and going to watch these movies, moving on to Batman v Superman, I guess I went to go to watch Batman v Superman Thursday night. We stayed in a long ass line in our theater, bro. Like, because there wasn't assigned seats at the time. So basically, we got to the theater. We were one of the first people in line. Like, we were sitting next to the arcade section of the theater. Like, dude, this is the shit that you dream of doing as a kid, right? You're like, opening night, BVS, like, all the grown-ass men are wearing Batman and Superman shirts. You're just a boy. Like, you got the Batman action figure in your hand. You're hype, right? I didn't get to watch, by the way, guys, I didn't get to watch any of the Dark Knight movies in theaters. Like, I was, what, like, 12 or 13 when Rises came out, so technically, I was still too young. Like, my parents wouldn't let me watch it, blah, blah, blah. And, like, or no, not 12, 13, like, 9, 10, sorry. But, like, BVS comes out, dude. And I'm watching it with my friend, like, my family, friends, and everything, right? Dude, one of my best friends, like, childhood friends, bro, he fell asleep while watching the movie. Batman v Superman, bro. Like, you think about, like, dude, this I don't, the thing is, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, now I don't blame him.
And I don't even blame
him. Like, that, this is supposed to be the pinnacle of our childhood, bro. Like, two of, like, the, I know, bro. And, like, just, like,
yeah, out, on paper, that's crazy.
Cold. And it was like, I don't even remember. I don't remember any of the first watch either. Like, I remember my first watch of Man of Steel. It wasn't a great one, but I remember it. I remember my first watch of a lot of, like, Avengers. That shit sticks with me. But it's like, BVS should have been that. And I rewatched, like I never saw any trailers leading up to it. I just knew it was Batman fighting Superman. Like, dude, this was, okay, this is the way I correlated, I guess. It's like, this was supposed to be, remember how, like, I don't know if you watched these, but when I was little, I watched, like, Wolverine versus Hulk, and it was, like, those ass CGI renders, bro. Yes, bro. It was, like, the dog shit. I know, they were so fun. And so I thought that this is, like, I thought it was supposed to be super big scale fun action and, like, fighting, and, like, I thought it was, like, supposed to be, like, true to the characters. It was none of those things. It was it was nothing like that at all whatsoever, and it truly disappointed me. And yeah, I've seen the Ultimate Edition too. I don't like it. I don't. It just doesn't. Yeah, you don't need to. Don't worry.
Man, I haven't watched the Ultimate Edition now. But now that made me think. I just realized I've never seen.
Oh really?
Snyder films like in theaters when they aired, like, for DCU. I didn't see.
Damn. Any of
them. Yeah.
That's, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because I mean, I technically, like, I guess since we were young, I mean, you haven't even seen most of the DCEU movies,
and that's wild, but
so, I mean, most, but, like, you didn't catch Aquaman the Lost Kingdom, you didn't catch The Flash, you didn't catch either of the Shazams.
I did. I don't think we just
you didn't watch either of the Wonder Woman's in theaters. I don't think.
Oh, yes, I haven't seen the Shazams.
Yeah, you don't need to, it's okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't even finish 84, but...
Oh, yeah, Lost Kingdom was not very good. I mean,
Lost Kingdom was not good, bro.
I'm an Aquaman defender, bro. I'm a James Wan defender, bro. Like, I know, like...
I wanted to, bro.
The first one is low-key, like, the first one is low-key, like, an 8.5. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I know that might be...
I just wish they would have.
Okay, that makes sense, though, because, you know, everything I love, bro. I was like,
maybe a 7.5.
But... Dude, we've been saying that, guys, on the podcast. I've literally been outing, bro, before. It's a fact. Yeah, no, I, but okay, so for BVS, what, do you remember your first watch of it at all?
I think I probably saw it, like, a pirating site or something like that, to be honest, like, because I don't even know, I remember even when it came out at the time, like, as a kid, like, really, like, I don't know why, like,
because I was, like, the concept seemed
cool, but when I actually, like, watched, like, advertisements in the trailers, like, nothing really, like, pulled me in like that. I don't know, it was weird, and for it, I was coming off the, you know, the Nolan trilogy and everything like that, like, so I was a Batman fan, and I was just, like, I don't know, nothing really... I grabbed my attention, but when I eventually got around to watching it, I don't know, it was weird. But also, I will say, I don't think, like, my watch of it was fair, because by the time I got around to watching it, like, I was, like, aware that it was, like, people didn't like it. So it was, like, going in, I kind of expected it to, like, not be good. So, like, I did kind of, you know, it has things going against it when I was watching it. But, I mean, overall, like, I think the only thing I can say positive about BBS is, like, you know, I think Affleck is actually pretty cool as Batman. I think you got some cool stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if I can even agree with you on that one, dude.
There's not much else I can really say positive.
I do not like Batfleck, bro.
You don't like Affleck? You don't like Batfleck?
I never liked Batfleck.
His suit. Yeah, like, I think Affleck was pretty good as a character. Okay. Like,
well, okay. I guess we could just say, yeah, I think this is a good thing to talk about. Because it is Zack Snyder's rendition of Batman, okay? So... I think this is a valid thing to speak on. It's not very much a sidetrack, but so my biggest reasons why I don't like Batfleck, I think he's way too, like, I don't like a brooding Batman. Like I know that sounds crazy, but like I feel like I think his Batman's the most intimidating, which is cool, but it's not in, like, a subtly intimidating way. Like, I feel like Pattinson is, like, he stands there and you're scared, but it's not that it's because he's, like, a big body or anything like that. Like, it's his aura, bro. It's his aura. I know that's crazy to say, but, like, Like you, yeah, exactly, dude. Like Batfleck's aura is like it's just goofy to me. Like I don't like the suit. This I don't like gray suits. I don't like gray Batman suits. Let's just get that out of the way. I hate gray Batman suits. But dude, Batfleck is just. I don't like it, and I don't like his armor suit either. That shit's ass. Like I don't like it. I don't like the big. Okay, I think the big logo is tacky. Like I'm not gonna lie. I think the big logo is tacky. Dude, I also okay. Here's the thing. I also like. I think armory suits. They also aren't always well done because even in The Dark Knight, I think the movie The Dark Knight is amazing. But what's it called? Bale's Batman. I think the armor is way too clunky. I think Pattinson's is a perfect amount of like clunkiness, but also like the silhouette is amazing. Like. Yeah, I don't know. I think Pattinson's aura is just unbeatable. And I think Bale's aura in Batman Begins is amazing. I think his aura just kind of – it doesn't really – in my opinion, Bale, like as I've gotten older, I love The Dark Knight, guys. I'm not shitting on The Dark Knight in terms of saying overall it's a bad movie. But the older I've gotten, the more I've realized like Batman in the second two movies is really like not amazing. Like Batman himself. Okay. Oh, yeah. But I will say the Bruce Wayne in the last two movies is amazing. Like it is like arguably the best. Like I think that's the best Bruce Wayne. Also, Batfleck's Bruce Wayne is not good. He just never had time to develop, but that's not an excuse in my opinion. Like you know what I mean? Like it's called Batman v Superman, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. No, well, yeah, because my thing on Batfleck, okay, let me just clarify. I'm only talking about Batfleck in BVS, like Justice League and Flat. Like, no, that's a goofball. But I don't know. I feel like some stuff in BVS, I think, like, I don't know. Aura I think for me, he was pretty cool. Crazy. Obviously, if him and
Batfleck are right.
Going aura for aura, like, Batson's going to win for sure. Like, yeah. But like I think Affleck, I don't think he.
Yeah,
was
okay.
Like,
I think the choreography. I think
he was cool
amazing.
At times. Like he had some cool moments too. Like you know, like that warehouse fight and stuff was cool. So yeah, I think he had some cool moments, and I do. I think like with more time and like a
I think
better.
It, I
director,
think we can
you know,
both agree that it's
he could have been pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm assuming. I think so. Yeah. Definitely. Okay, yeah, I will say. I still want to sit on BVS for a second because we have to talk about more of Superman in that. But out of everything in the DC universe that Zack Snyder had his grimy little hands on, Wonder Woman was the best thing in my opinion that came out of his work personally. Yeah, exactly. He just the fact that he put her in that universe in BVS. Like the best part of BVS is Wonder Woman. The best part of Wonder Woman is the Zack Snyder. Oh, okay, here's the thing. The Zack Snyder aura is in Wonder Woman. Like the darkness and the brutality. Like it's all in Wonder Woman. But the thing is, you're right, Brantley. He just overdoes it because he thinks he's doing something so cool.
Yeah.
Patty Jenkins was able to reel it back a little bit. She was able to be like, okay, Zack Snyder, chill the fuck out. Like, I got it now. So Zack Snyder built a world for Wonder Woman. Honestly, if the DC universe. Honestly, they can't call it extended universe if they do what I'm about to say, but Zack Snyder should have only touched three characters. And it's Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Those are the only characters that, in my opinion, he could truly, truly build a cohesive thing with because of how distinct his style is. And I think this is kind of the next thing to talk about because, and I think this is what I've essentially been saying since I was like 13 fucking years old, by the way. I've been on this train since I was 13 years old. Zack Snyder cannot be the head honcho of a universe. He just can't. He's too distinct for that. He cannot do that. Zack Snyder cannot. He cannot be the head honcho of a universe. He cannot lead the universe.
You said Snyder what?
He's way too distinct.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, and well, I don't know. I think, yeah, that too. I think also, yeah, DC definitely made a mistake, like you mentioned, Wonder Woman, of them trying to, like, craft all the other films around the tone that he set. But obviously, I get they kind of want a cohesive tone for their universe, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
His tone, like, he goes so hard, like, in, like, that direction that he goes in. I don't know what the direction you call it, but he goes very hard in that direction.
Like a handful. And like, not even a handful. Like three free characters.
It's not much like freedom tonally.
You know what I mean? Like you don't, like Harley Quinn doesn't work here. Joker doesn't really work here. Most of the Suicide Squad. Dude, okay. We literally saw them try to make another movie with the Batman v Superman or Man of Steel tone in Suicide Squad. Like, they tried to do that. And it just completely doesn't work. I just don't think you make a universe like I get it. People like brutality, dude. And I like Deadpool. Like, Deadpool's one of my favorite movies, like one of my favorite comic movies of all time. Like, and it's brutal as hell. That doesn't mean you need to make it all depressing. Like Deadpool is a very sad story at its core, in my opinion. Like, from what I've learned on rewatch, I genuinely think Deadpool is like a very tragic film, even though it is hilarious. But the directors are able to work around that. You know what I mean? Like, they're able to make it a funny story while still having heart. Zack Snyder has never heard of heart. Like I don't know what he's cooking. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand, dude. It pisses me off.
Yeah, no, I don't understand why he, like, he just, as like a director, tries to just reject any, like, I don't know, like, sunshine into his films, bro. Like, it's just like, it has to be this brooding, you know. Maybe I get it. I mean, some directors, you know, that's, they do have their style. They're like
okay, here's the thing. Like we've been complimenting, it works in Army of the Dead. It doesn't, you know? Like, it works.
This doesn't work, in my opinion.
In very specific scenarios.
That's him. I mean, you know.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is like he was. Well, I would honestly, to be completely honest with you,
it was like,
I think the Dark Knight. I mean, sorry, Army of the Dead. Army of the Dead really has. I don't know why I said the Dark Knight. I think Army of the Dead really is funny, but it's also very serious. Like, it is about, like, losing all these members of your team and them coping with that and trying to leave, like this desolate place. And I don't think the movie is absolutely amazing, but it balances tones better than Zack Snyder's ever done in his career, in my opinion. So I just,
Yeah, no, definitely. That's why I like it so much. I feel like it's like, to me, that's why I like it. It's it's different. It feels different from like anything else I've seen from you, or the most different, at least.
Like, there's real, like, you really don't feel like depressed when you watch them. Sure. Like, you can, like, enjoy.
Which is something I can't say about any other deck.
Go, kid. You're good. You're good.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, I guess because, I don't know. Okay, but my bad. I guess I don't know, because I don't know what it sounds like.
We only want, like,
happy-go-lucky films. Like, you know, like, I feel like, yeah. I like, you know, a good depressing narrative or not. But I think with Snyder, it's just like,
he just wants
sometimes, okay, it's like, it has a purpose. It's like, he's making things brooding and, like,
when the Snyder gloomy cut came
just,
out,
like, just for the vibe. He released, like, it's not, like, two different versions, serving the story.
He did Zack Snyder's Justice League, which is on HBO Max, now Max. And he also released Zack Snyder's Justice League, Justice is Gray, a black and white version. By the way, there was no fucking point to that. He just put it in black and white. That means that there was no narrative reason for black and white. Brantley and I literally just talked about this earlier today, by the way, in a completely different context. But that shit is crazy. Like, that's how you know. Okay, I will give Zack Snyder this. The vibes in his movies are fully, like, they are vibes. Like, you can tell, like, he's a director for the vibes. Like, you know what I mean? Like he wants a dark and gloomy vibe. That vibe you get. Like, but it's not, it doesn't work, but he can make a vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bad vibes. Yeah, but I think the only difference is, like, yeah, he's, like, for the vibes, but I think this is where I, like, go back to, like, my original statement about him. Like, I think he's, like, not fully for the vibes.
I think Blade Runner 2049.
He's, like, I feel like a director's for the vibes, like, they kind of, like, let the story take a back seat, and, like, they just go, like, crazy with the vibes. But I feel like him, he, like, tries to make, like, these super, like,
dude, crazy fake, out.
Deep stories and like masterpiece like, epic. Like, it's like, bro, like Batman it might be just better if you just both went for the vibes.
Names are and the story could be kind of that's the whole thing, by the way. That's like the whole entire like plot point between Batman and Superman. He convinced Warner Brothers to make a whole ass multi-million dollar production off of the names of their mothers, and it didn't even work. Like, I don't want to harp on for BVS for too much longer. Zack Snyder's Justice League. You've seen Zack Snyder's Justice League, right? Okay. What did you think about that? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. When it first. I mean, I thought it was definitely better than the Joss Whedon version for sure, but that wasn't a very high bar. In the moment, I thought it was fire. Over time, looking back, I don't think it's aged very well at all. But like, it was a cool little moment in time, a cool little event. Like, you know, like the movement and stuff, like actually came to fruition. Like, I never expected it actually come out or like get released. So like, it was a cool, little fandom kind of moment, I guess. Even I wasn't a huge Snyder Cut person because I mean,
yeah, it got announced. It got announced when we were in
Twitter,
ninth grade, right before COVID hit.
When it happened, this is cool.
But you know that circle area by the bottom of school.
No, you're good.
We were both talking, and he goes, "Oh my god, there's a new streaming service called HBO Max, and they're gonna drop Zack Snyder's Justice League when it comes out." We were both like, holy shit, oh my god, what's going on? It was crazy, dude.
That's alive.
Yeah,
like, it was, like, that kind of memory and stuff, like, that's fire. But, like, I don't know, the movie itself, I thought it had some cool moments. I mean, you know, what, Martian Manhunter was in there, right? Green Lantern, a little appearance. Like it was a fun little thing. But do I think it's like great?
I actually think honestly,
by any means, no. I think it's just like I think it works. Cool little
like I think kind of okay. So I know I was shitting on Batfleck a lot earlier, but I think Ben Affleck's Batman works in this movie, but it doesn't work enough for me to overcome the fact that I'm like, wow, this is amazing character development. I'm never seeing his ass again. You know what I mean? It's like, I just never was like fully convinced of anything. And I think if he had tried to genuinely make a good movie on its own, it would have actually been amazing. Like, I would have given like a 9, but he tries to spend the last hour, not tries. He spends the last hour of this movie setting up everything that he wouldn't be able to get to do in the DC universe. So it completely drags down the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like if he cut out that last hour and just focused on making a movie that's so like, dude, I totally get it. Like, if I was him, I would have done the same shit. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like he got to shoot stuff and film stuff that would never have seen the light of day if he didn't put it in his movie. And so, like, the fact that he got it in there and he did it, like, I respect him for that. But in order to, that doesn't make it a good movie. You know what I mean?
No, definitely. Yeah, no, like the fact that he got it, like, went in there and like got it done, I mean, I think it's very like commendable. And I think, like, you know, especially for the reasoning why he even left Justice League in the first place, for him to go back and like then actually let him finish it and whatnot and give him a new budget and something like that. Like, I think like that whole like situation was cool, but yeah, like the final product itself, yeah, I don't think that like takes away from like the quality. Like, yeah, you know, I don't think
agree,
like
dude.
It
it's just
affects the quality of it.
It's hard one like, because you know, like I as much as I means, dislike I think, his like
know,
outlook
it was,
on stuff,
of course his vision. Kind
obviously,
of
like the director's cut stuff hasn't really aged well. I will say I feel like this movie brought more negatives into Hollywood than positives, just because like. Now, like, everyone wants a fucking director's cut, bro. It's like, no, like the point of making a Hollywood movie, and maybe this is a hot take, but the point of being a good director in Hollywood is being able to work with the constraints of Hollywood and leveling up to where you don't need to follow those constraints anymore. The only reason Nolan can make a 3-hour biopic about fucking Oppenheimer, and the only reason that Denis Villeneuve can make a 2-hour and 47-minute Dune sci-fi movie is because they've worked their entire career to get the freedom like that. Zack Snyder, I hate to break it to you, but did not work that long to get to a 4-hour long Snyder cut. Like, he, like look at the other directors. Like, I don't think so. No, the quality of his work, the quality of his work does not agree with that, in my opinion. Okay, no, like, lengthwise, of course, I mean, yeah, but like, I mean, like, dude, in my opinion, Greta Gerwig should be able to make a 3-hour movie. Like, I hope her Narnia movie is 3 hours long. Like, Little Women, Lady Bird, Barbie, like, they are amazing. Barbie's not amazing, but like, the other two are amazing movies. Barbie is great. Like her 3-film selection versus Zack Snyder's fucking like 8 movies. Like, I'm taking Greta all day long. Like, I cannot believe that. Like, I cannot believe the Snyder Cut exists for good and bad reasons. You know, like, obviously, I'm like, yeah, I'm happy. Like, he got to finish his vision stuff. Whole situation's unfortunate, but it's just like, bro, like, he did not, as a filmmaker, he should not be at the level where he's able to, like, command around a 4-hour cut, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Not. I mean, but also, Snark, I think it was definitely bigger than him, though. I think we had, you know, the fans and actors also kind of pushing for it. So I think, yeah, I don't think just off the name, his weight alone, I don't think his name carried that much weight for them to just kind of, like, conform.
That was a good one. That's honestly, that was smart. That was very kind of smart.
The wider movement.
I wonder if they had pitched it like that. I wonder if they pitched it like that, or Warner Brothers is like, oh, we'll only do this if you agree to, basically, like, promote our whole streaming service with it. You know what I mean? But I mean, dude, that was like the launch thing, right? Like, that was like the big thing of like when they launched it, right? I think so. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But I guess kind of heading away from the DC universe. I actually forgot to put this one on the outline, but Bradley mentioned it.
I think either launched with that, or it was like right after, something like that.
Army of, what is it called? Army of the Dead. Sorry, I was going to say Army of Darkness. That's not the right franchise. Yeah. Army of the Dead, dude. What do you think of that one? I really like it.
Army of the Dead.
Yep.
Bro, like, fun time, man. Fun time. Like, I love Dave Bautista in that film. I think overall the cast itself is really fun.
I was just going in
to hate it because, you know, it's
because, okay, so I think really with Army of
me and yeah, I think might be my favorite film I've seen from Bro. What's
it called? Army of the Dead. I'm gonna write that down so I stop forgetting it. Army of the Dead. Yeah, Army of the Dead. Dave Bautista in a leading role always works for me. That, he's awesome. And then, yeah, I think, like, even, dude, like, I didn't get annoyed by the slow-mo because it wasn't every 3 seconds. You know, I liked a lot of what this movie gave us. It gave us just it. I think when I first heard that Zack Snyder was with Netflix, I was like, shit, like, we're cooked. I was like, it's over. Like, we're getting so many more 7-hour movies because Netflix just doesn't care. But then I was like, yeah, like, and everything I watched about the movie, like, it just seemed like Zack Snyder, this was really his get back. You know, this was really like, I think this is where he was like, okay, let me just make a damn good movie so people don't keep making fun of me. Yeah. Spoiler alert, Brantley did not like Rebel Moon 1, by the way, guys. Brantley did not like that shit. Army of Dead, I think it worked really well. It's just like a zombie heist movie, bro. It's cool. It's simple premise, you know, like, it's not overcomplicated by the lore. It's a sick-ass zombie movie, you know?
Literally, like, I think it's just, yeah, it's very simple, very safe, but I think it's a fun time, man.
Happening, though, because he's making six more Rebel movies.
You know, so. I'll be fine with that. If Zack Snyder just makes serviceable blockbusters.
Dude, you saw the tweet, right? I think that's cool.
Like, good streaming blockbusters.
Bro, Discussing Film tweeted, like, one day, it was like, Zack Snyder says he plans to make 6 Rebel Moon movies, bro. And Twitter fucking exploded.
No.
It was so stupid. I'm so, Zack Snyder said, either he said six Rebel Moon movies or six more Rebel Moon movies, which either way, I don't want that. Like, dude, you know both movies are like under a 25% Rotten Tomatoes. Dude, they have a combined score of like 30%, by the way.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's no way he's getting that funded, bro. Like,
I think they filmed the first two together. Like, who wants? So yeah, that's why they're both coming. But
who
wants?
I don't see people talking about it, like, even online. Like, I don't see people
like I don't think they did one and then two. Well, okay. So they might also just wait to see the reviews. Okay, I guess it's time to talk about Rebel Moon. Let's give our reviews of Rebel Moon 1. It's been a while since I've seen it. I saw it when it originally came out, but really, what did you think about Rebel Moon?
Yeah, might as well get into it. I just think it was lame.
Yeah, you know, by the way, do you know the origin story of Rebel Moon?
Off-brand Star Wars.
Yeah, so he pitched it to Lucasfilm and they said no.
It's like he just couldn't make a Star Wars film. He's trying to get as close as possible. No, I don't. What is it? Oh, of course. Okay. That explains a lot, actually. Like, the thing is that Rebel Moon, it's so shameless, too. Like, down to, like, the laser, like, I'm using air quotes, the laser swords that aren't lightsabers that are like, it's so shameless. Like, it's like if they're trying to.
Yes, it's the same thing.
What he was trying to do here. Down to even just the general plot with like, you know, this empire like group taking over in this rebellion.
Yeah,
like,
it's his like, own. It's his like technically own like IP. Ass,
bro,
I guess,
like what is this? Like, either just.
He probably pitched it to Lucasfilm with Star Wars characters, and then since they said no, he just switched.
So this is all from the mind of Zack Snyder. That's why.
That's why it was dogs. You know?
Yeah. But it's like that's just so crazy to me, man. That is crazy. I think it was just dogs, and also I'll say visually. I don't know why. Maybe I'm tripping, but like I feel like when they were like certain scenes.
Are you talking about like? Are you talking about like outdoor scenes?
Like to me, like it felt like they.
It felt like a shitty. I know they didn't use the volume on this. I don't think they did. It felt like a shitty.
Yeah. Like it just.
You know those shots. They do this. So they do this a lot in the second movie too. You know those shots
exactly.
Where it's
how
just
it looks
the silhouette
me. I'm like,
of the character and then
like
a
like,
massive
I'm, like,
move
here
in
the
this background or something.
Like the it just feels
and
like,
it's like the horizon's like, really low. Like the ground is really low. Like the ground takes up like maybe like the bottom 5 inches of the screen. And then it's the person like farming or some shit.
Okay, yeah.
And then the whole background is just a moon or something like big, like a big planet, right? That's like that, – I hate that that's how they show scale in these movies. And – I know we're just shitting on it, guys, but I swear to you, I have nothing good to say about these movies except for the lead actress. I think the actress is really great, and I think I will say, I think the acting from like the group of rebels is good. Like I think they like have good banter, but that's not even to say they have good chemistry. You know what I mean? Like it's just like the vibes of the group are there in my opinion.
Yeah, no, my main gripes with the movie is not even, like, that. It's just, yeah, really, it's everything outside of, like, I think everything else is serviceable. I think just that the general, just the concept and, like, just the writing and the visuals. But, like, yeah, the performances, I think, are all pretty good.
I'm so glad you didn't know going in. That's funny that you didn't know.
I think the moment, like, I really started peeping, like, the similarities, like, I was like, damn, this is just, like, not even trying to hide anything, but... Like, I didn't know it. Like, I mean, like, yeah, I got.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I think I saw maybe someone like tweeted about
it's,
it. But I
thought
it was like a joke. Like, oh, he
and I'm gonna give you guys
to, like,
my quick Rebel Moon 2 review, I guess. So Brantley,
I thought that was probably a joke.
So originally the plan, by the way, guys, was
crazy.
For like, me to watch Rebel Moon 2 this weekend because it came out on the Friday before recording. Friday before recording this. Brantley was gonna watch Rebel Moon 1 and 2 for the podcast. And then I watched it and I was like, hey, don't watch Rebel Moon 2. It's just the first one, but shittier. So That's basically my review, I guess. It's, and everyone has said this. Yeah, it's literally Farm Simulator. It's dude, I don't know if you saw the video on Twitter that someone posted, but it's literally like farming in slow-mo. Like they're literally farming in slow-mo. Like,
farm simulator? Like,
so basically, okay, I'm going to say slight spoilers, I guess, because I have to explain this to Brantley. But basically, the whole plot of the movie is at the end of the first movie, you know how she kills like that leader at the end of the movie? So, and then he comes back to life, like they're like rebuilding his body and shit, whatever, right? So in the beginning of this movie, obviously we find out that he's still alive, he's whatever. So there's a guy on the farm that's talking to the leaders of the, like, the, you know, the oppressors, like the bad guys, right? And he's like, oh, we're coming back down to get our crops in 5 days. The whole movie is basically those 5 days where the farmers are just farming. And they're trying to just farm and farm and farm and farm and like basically like build a layer or base or whatever and then like connect a bunch of like materials to a ship, right? And then correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, by the way, guys, but I'm pretty sure what happened, Bradley, was the girl, like the lead girl, she turns on the ship and then like I think they like have to get the ship out of like some rut or something, right? Dude. All of the materials that they got just like detached from the ship and it's gone. Like they, but I might have missed something there. Like, I hope I missed something there. Like, I hope I just forgot what happened and I'm thinking about it wrong and I read something and it just fucking, what? It took the like right idea out of my mind. But that is literally what it was, by the way. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, there's no way that's what we're doing right now. Yeah, it's Farming Simulator. And I guess we talk about now directors versus regular cuts because, and before we get into this, let me explain to you guys really quick. Zack Snyder has basically said that they shot Rebel Moon 1 and Rebel Moon 2. They shot director's cuts while filming the actual movies. Okay. And if you didn't know, after obviously he pitched it to Lucasfilm and they said no, he pitched it to Netflix. And his contract terms with Netflix, Brantley, I don't know if you knew this, but he's contractually, they made this decision before even filming the movie, by the way. They basically said, Zack Snyder said, hey, you have to let me release a director's cut version of this movie with anything that I want in it. If I release a regular cut of both of these movies. Yeah. Yeah, the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, I recall, yeah, hearing about that. And that's what was crazy to me because it just was so stupid. And, like, someone pointed this out. I'm like, they literally tried to, like, it's not like they're trying to manufacture, like, the Snyder Cut movement again. Like, that's so dumb because, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you already tell people, oh, there's going to be, like, ideally, you would think a better version of this movie.
I know. Well, I think, so, on, okay, I'm not sure how this is going to work.
Lower quality version, but... like, I don't understand like the rationale
since
behind
both of
that.
These movies are just about 2 hours long, and Zack Snyder usually makes like likes to make 3.5 hour movies or 3 to 3.5 hour movies. I'm thinking it might be Rebel Moon 1 and 2 is one movie, like they might combine it into one movie. But yeah, but maybe if knowing Zack Snyder, he's in the extended version. Okay. But here's the thing. This is why I'm so confused, though, is because he literally said, oh, the extended version has more blood and more gore and more violence and more dialogue, right? More explicit dialogue. That means that everything added into Rebel Moon 1 and Rebel Moon 2, whether they get combined into one movie or not, that just means it's completely unnecessary to the plot. And... I think one of the biggest things was in the second movie, the girl, you know, the girl and the guy that like, dude, I don't remember vividly. Do they like so the lead girl and the lead girl character and one of the guys in the group, is there like sexual tension between them? Like, are they like a relationship thing in the first movie? Okay. Yeah. So in the second movie, they only are like kissing, whatever. Right. And then, they're like making out on the field with like the exact shot I said before, by the way. They're making out in a field. It's just their silhouette. Like they're standing up and it's a massive fucking moon in the background. And so it's that exact shot, right? And then it cuts to them laying in bed. Dude,
yeah.
You know what's going to be in the director's cut? They're going to be fucking each other's brains out, by the way. That's all that the director's cut is going to be. In the first movie, I'm pretty sure the little girl gets like sexually assaulted. I don't know if they show it or like if she does. Oh, no, I don't think she does. But I think that the like the girl comes to save her before she does. How much do you want to bet? I would be willing to put money on it that in the director's cut, Zack Snyder lets her get molested. It's his. It's the Edge Lords. It's the little kids,
bro. Like if he does, bro, he's just so weird, man. Like I don't understand who he's marketing to. It's like these prompt. Like he's like, oh, this is gonna be more.
Yeah, like, I won't lie to you. In middle school, if you told me there was a Batman movie with more blood like, coming, actually, I probably would have watched that. More gore, killing, but you know what I mean. Like, if you tell like a middle schooler, like, oh my god, Superman's gonna shoot lasers through a guy's skull, like I would be hype, you know. But that's also a 13-year-old. I don't know. It's stupid, bro. And I don't know
exactly. Then,
yeah,
yeah.
What do you think about the whole like? Okay. I guess we can kind of talk about the Ayer cut too. I didn't really want to talk about it, but I think it would be good to talk about.
I don't understand him.
What do you think of that, bro? Because it's like, it's so long. Like, bro needs to fucking. You know, he made The Beekeeper, I think, by the way. That shit was ass. Like, I think so. I think it was David Ayer. It's just like, bro, like, get a life. Like, I'm so serious. Like, make another. You know wait, what they, you know what he should do? He should make a banger movie. And then be like, hey, let me do the Ayer cut. You know what I mean? It's like, prove yourself to some capacity.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No one wants it. But I'm just saying, like, instead of like even Zack Snyder's whole thing was like with this, like Rebel Moon, right? It's like a damn good movie. And tell Netflix, like, hey, Netflix, if my movie gets XYZ, like in terms of like ratings, like if it gets over a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes, if it gets an A cinema score, if it gets this many impressions on Netflix and this many views on Netflix and this much retention on Netflix, then you let me go back or you let me film extra scenes that add to the movie. And if it does good, then it'll make your money's worth and you'll be able to re-release a director's cut. Like, I know that might sound crazy and stupid. Like, obviously you can work out the kinks if you're a fucking producer on Netflix, but like, come on. Like, I don't think that's crazy to say. No, they all. It used to be a big thing, bro. And like, dude, David Ayer tweets every single time. It's like at the top of Netflix charts. Yeah, like,
I don't know.
Like,
I guess
he's like, thank you guys for making Suicide Squad the number one watched movie on Netflix in the world. And then like the top replies are like, they thought it was going to be the Suicide Squad, little bro. It's so funny.
Bro, that's facts, but like, I think if an Ayer cut,
yeah, I agree. Well, that's just for like mean purposes. Like, I don't think there's anyone that wants it. I wouldn't mind seeing more footage of
Jared Leto's Joker. Just, I feel like the adaptation is bad, but I just want to see more of it.
Yeah, and I don't know, dude.
I would definitely be laughing.
Like the whole director's cut, regular cut.
That interpretation of the Joker is obviously just like, crazy.
Like, I think Zack Snyder is just not like, bro. Like, you can't even say he's washed because he was never like dry. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, you know what I'm saying? Like there was never a point in time where we were like, Zack Snyder is the go. No one was saying like, okay, sixth grade me was saying that, but like. No one in their right mind is saying
that. No, thanks. No, that is.
Well, it kind of makes sense. Like, dude, 300 is like bro. Gladiator movies were all of their
rage. I do wonder how did he get like in this particular position? Like where did he like? It must be something different. Where did he start at? Remember, like.
300 was big. 300 was pretty big in my, I think.
Let's see how much it was, budget $65 million budget.
He also did like he did another zombie movie I think early in his
career. I thought it had to be a hit.
Yeah.
Ooh, $456 million
So like, I'm not saying he doesn't have a job, but it's like, think about it, bro. Like 300 from what I know about it, it's not very edgelord, bro. Like it's violence because it's gladiators. You know what I mean? Like, okay, my biggest thing is. Okay, I will say this. The one compliment, and I guess this is to end off the episode, but like my one compliment to Zack Snyder is I think he can write characters really well. I genuinely think like I don't think he's a bad writer. I think he writes most of his own things. I don't think he's a bad writer, dude. Okay. I don't think he makes good lore. Like his own, you know what I mean? Like I don't like the lore of what's it called, Rebel Moon, but like let me see, did he, I'm pretty sure he wrote Army of the Dead, I'm pretty sure he helped writing Watchmen, and like, okay dude, even like we're talking our judgment on the lore aside, if we're taking the character of like, or let's take out the idea that Superman is a preconceived notion of who he's supposed to be, I can agree that Superman is a tragic character. Now I don't think it works. Like, I don't think there needs to be a whole movie about that. But to be able to make Superman a tragic character in that way, that takes a little bit of skill, in my opinion. No. But it's because I would have much rather had a heroic and like a, you know what I mean? Like, my perception of Superman is different. I'm not saying like overall story writing either. I'm just saying character, like singular character writing. Like, okay, guys, I'm just trying to give him a little bit of credit here. Like, I don't think he's the worst guy in the world. I'm just trying to say that. Like, I think with the direction, I think his edgelordness goes into his direction too much. Like the slow-mo and all that kind of stuff. Like, I think that just takes over what he's truly capable of as a character writer, in my opinion, personally.
No, definitely. I think he's like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe sometimes we need that. Like, you know, maybe.
I don't know. It's like.
Maybe, like, you know. Like a, yeah. That, like, maybe that's our handoff like for Christopher Nolan. But you know, like, that's our trade. Like, we get Christopher Nolan.
Creative
13-year-olds like, get Zack Snyder. And that's a trade-off I'm willing to take. Bro, you know what he said? You know what he said? He said, oh my god. So Netflix was like, oh my god.
At least streaming, you know, he's not like, bothering anyone anymore.
Like Zack Snyder was like, oh my god, like Netflix told me how many viewers Rebel Moon Part 1 had, and it absolutely blew me away. And basically, apparently, how Netflix told Zack Snyder to calculate his viewers was they gave him a number of like X amount of like people watch, right? And then he goes, oh, you have to multiply that by two because Netflix assumes that two people are watching a movie at the same time, an account. So he's like, oh, we got more viewers than Barbie. We made more money than Barbie. We're more successful than Barbie. Mm-hmm. That's literally a quote. It's somewhere on the internet. I swear to God, he said that. Dude, I promise you, Brantley's looking up right now, guys. I swear to God, it's a thing.
Bro. I got like Zack Snyder more successful than Barbie. That's wild. Like, is bro? Because like, how could you believe? Like,
yep.
Yeah, it's true. It says the device.
I'm telling you guys, he might be delusional. Okay, he said
argued that more people saw the first song.
He calculated, so it was like 500, 500,000, 550,000, or 570 something thousand. And he's like, but you got to multiply that by two. It's 1.6 billion. That's more than Barbie.
That's just delusional. Like,
dude, I'm like, come on, bro, like. It's insane, bro.
1.6 bro.
Oh my god, Zack Snyder based it on the estimated price of $10 per ticket. Snyder said then Rebel Moon would have generated 1.6 billion opinions in theaters. Like, no one's buying a ticket to Rebel Moon. Bro, like,
did you watch Rebel
Moon? I'm so sorry. Of the first movie made that?
You know, literally, is that a theater run? Wait, what was the budget?
Okay, honestly, I think it would have made like...
It would have made its money back or not.
It would have made... I think it would have made like 400
166 million. I think... Yeah. I don't think it would have... No, that's how much it costs to be made. Yeah.
200? Bro, that's not break. That's not making its money back. Remember, Breaking Even's double. Breaking Even's double, remember? Oh,
I'm saying two, bro.
Oh, I guess. I mean, I don't think it would have broke even either. Like, I mean, 400, yeah, but like the 400 plus marketing costs and stuff. Like, I don't think it would have broke even.
Yeah, you gotta go. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it would have broke even. Yeah, I don't think it would have broke even. Yeah, no, I think it would have made.
No, I'm kidding.
Like, I can't see it getting. Why is for okay? No, I can't. No, I can't see it breaking even. Yeah, no, that's cool. Bro, like, I don't even know, like...
We 32?
Who's really going to want to see this, bro? Like...
luckily for
Because if it's really even, it'd be 32 million.
Netflix likes a longer
number. I can't see that. I can't see 32. Especially if it dropped at the same time.
Yeah, bro. That would change my life.
It just sucks for like, getting all the like, use director's cuts from him, but the people that we need like director's cuts from, they don't drop. Like,
people like this get director's cut.
A Dune 2 director's cut.
What'd you say?
Oh my god.
Snyder?
Like.
Damn, 58 is crazy.
58?
How old is Nolan?
He's 58 years old. He's almost 60 years old.
Oh my god, Nolan's younger.
Wow, he actually looks pretty good for his age.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Nolan's younger. Wait, how old is Denny?
He's aging pretty well.
Denny has to be over. Denny has to be late 60s.
No way.
I mean, no, not late 60s. Sorry. Like early 60s, late
50s. That's wild.
Oh my god! Damn, that's crazy. That's insane. What? Oh my god!
I would have never.
Oh my god!
I would have never thought that.
Yeah. No, Snyder's okay. Snyder's aging better than Denny. We'll just say
Snyder's older than both of them.
But Denny's a handsome French man, so nah. I guess Denny wins.
I did not know. That's wild.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the one right. thing.
I mean, we're getting crazy sidetracked here, by the way. But yeah, that's our thoughts on Zack Snyder. We didn't want to end on negatives, guys. I swear. But I'm not even gonna ask Brantley's final thoughts on Snyder because we're gonna get negative again. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. Again, reach out to us on socials if you guys ever want to talk about the episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you next.
We just want to end it on a good note.